The book of John, 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. According to the given statement, or the meaning contained in this place, before anything became or existed, God already had it within Himself. This is specifically why the Scriptures call God Almighty, or One who is of all potential. It is specifically from the word all that the word potential comes. The principle is that the potential of everything is connected to its wellspring. Therefore, the wellspring of all potential in the visible as well as the invisible universe is God. Due to this fact, the level of ability of any potential in creation is determined by the demands or intentions of the Creator, not the demands of someone else. The principle is proven by the fact that every creator includes user instructions for their product, explaining its potential and its functionality. A creator expects that before using his product, you will become familiar with the instructions to understand the expectations for using this product. We can conclude from this that the potential of any product is not determined by any sort of opinion, assumption, or preconception, but only by the instructions that are provided by the creator or inventor. We together are the product of God, who is our creator. Therefore, it is not wise and it isn't fitting to determine your potential by social, cultural, or educational norms of our society, as society did not create us. Therefore, not a single societal group listed above has the right to determine the amount of potential that is contained or concealed within us. If we want to find out about the potential that is hidden within us, then we need to turn to the one that created us, and afterwards learn the requirements he has provided for the work of his hands. We will also remember that we can fulfill all of his requirements because he has put that into us. When an inventor or creator puts components into his creation, he knows that this machine can then reach these particular speeds, or in the instructions, they sometimes will write a little bit less than it really can. That's not how God is, of course. His potential can't be restricted. He is such a creator. The potential he put into us when he created us, he does not have restriction or limits. The only thing that can stand in the way of our potential is our ignorance and our unfitting stubbornness. God created man from the material that he himself is made of. This means from the word that comes out of the mouth of God. It is written that this word was with God and was God. In the beginning, of course, it's talking about Logos and then Rhema. First, it was a thought, informational program in the format of a thought, and this informational program in the format of a thought was with God and identified the essence of God. And afterwards, it says nothing without the thought that was spoken in word was created. There is Rhema, already the act. Therefore, we as the product of the word of God that comes out of the mouth of God have within ourselves the potential that is equal to the potential of God. If you can imagine, we look at ourselves and say, well, we are comparing ourselves with other people that may maybe have achieved more than we have more than we have, forgetting that we have the children of God, only the children of God, each individual child of God. Their potential is equal to God's potential. Don't compare yourself to other great people in the world. Take all the kings, emperors, presidents together, all of the wealthy individuals that are in the world, all together, it is nothing in comparison to what's inside of you, in the form of a seed from which you were born, there's a great potential in that seed. The seed contains a program, this potential. You need to allow the seed to grow within the soil of a good heart, and it will begin to open up its potential. Therefore, in order to open up this potential or to reveal it, these existing within us abilities, it is necessary for us to behave in the way that God behaves when He opens up His potential. According to Scripture, the principle of opening and demonstrating any ability of God is His cheerful giving. The more God gives, the more He opens His potential, and the more then He gains. A person can't comprehend this. Many Christian people refuse to understand this. They think that if they gave something to God, then they'd have less. Their potential has lessened. Their abilities have diminished. The more you give, the greater your potential will be. The more God will open it up. Therefore, honoring God with tithes and offerings in His house, which is the church of saints, where we receive our spiritual food, we in this way open up the placed into us potential of success in all aspects of our existence. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and if he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Watch after your heart, purposes in his heart. Don't really look at, when it says purposes in his heart, don't believe those preachers that begin to intimidate you or saying, who will give more, who will give more. Watch after your heart, because you're in your heart, God may say, give everything. And sometimes He may say, give just the tithe and the offering. Be watchful. Do not follow those who say, who will give 1,000 or 10,000? This is not a person delegated of God. These are people who serve mammon that try to force out money from people instead of honoring God with their tithes and instead of opening up their potential. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. What will He abound us with when we honor Him with tithes and offerings? With His grace. That you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work, as it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-9. And so grace that makes us rich is only towards spiritual things. We need to understand that grace is not materialistic or materialistic gain. This is spiritual gain. And so people think that they're under grace when they receive materialistic prosperity. Materialistic prosperity does not belong to the gifts of grace. Gifts of materialistic blessing is a free addition to the gifts of grace, a free addition to that. Therefore, there is a significant importance in how we give and into what soil we place our potential. That is, the money and fellowship with one another into the soil of the flesh or the soil of the spirit. I want us to understand that fellowship with one another or brotherly kindness in the atmosphere in which we need to honor our God with our tithes and offerings, if they are not together or united, then however much you may give, or however you may give, God will not rejoice. He will rejoice when this is done in brotherly love, because brotherly love is a union. This is what makes us one with God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians 6, 7, 8. I always focus upon, when I read this place of Scripture, I always focus upon the fact of not how much we sow, but where we sow. Because people who represent Mammon. They call themselves pastors, preachers, emissaries of Mammon. They often say they take that place of Scripture, separating it from this one, because when you say something, you need to say it in accordance to the full spirit of Scripture. They say, who will sow sparingly will reap sparingly. Teaching, therefore, that you need to give more than what your heart desires. But here it says further, so that you know, be watchful where you sow, into what soil, because from that will, if you sow into the soil of the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. If you sow into the flesh, then you will reap corruption. In other words, if we give our tithes with the goal of receiving success in the materialistic area, then we are sowing into our flesh, from which we will reap corruption. We are sowing into the flesh. We expect in the flesh to receive something. But from the flesh you can reap corruption. What else can you reap there? In your spirit there's eternity, and you sow into the flesh, desiring to receive materialistic things instead of thinking about the gifts of grace. But if we give our tithe with the goal of obtaining the kingdom of heaven in our spirit, in the grown by us fruit of righteousness, we will reap everlasting life, as it is written. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. That is, people that are not circumcised, people that have received baptism, made a covenant with God, but whose baptism stopped being baptism. Just as the Jews, their circumcision stopped being circumcision because they violated the law. Circumcision is useful when you fulfill the law. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God in His righteousness. Not the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as it's written here, and His righteousness, but in the original, it says, in His righteousness. All these things shall be added to you, Matthew 6:31-33. In America, this doesn't exist, but in Russia, this did, that if there was a very precious book that someone wanted, there was a line that would wait for it, and so they would buy the book, and then in addition to that, it's a free edition, they would include verbiage from the Communist Party. I remember how students would come to me, and they were afraid, saying, pray, today we're going to do exams or something on communism. They would pray in order to submit their exams for communism. And I told them, God won't hear you in this. Seek again the kingdom of God in His righteousness, fruits of righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you bear fruits of the Spirit, then all of these things shall be added to you, and will be added to you in the measure in which God wants it or determines. Only He knows how much money He should give us to earn. As soon as you give your children materialistic goods that are more than they need, then they begin to perverse their ways. We need to understand that money is to be earned. You need time, energy, your effort is put into it in order to earn the money. Why do many wealthy people, why do their children become so distraught, and they spend all their wealth? Because they behave not as kings do. Kings never gave their children what they wanted. They gave them only what they thought was necessary. Although there were servants, servants didn't assist the children. The kings disciplined them in such a way that the children served themselves. They were not given new and new clothing. They were given clothing, and if it was ripping or tearing somewhere, they themselves had to sew up or patch up those holes. I read about how they did these things. The pressure that children had, and when they were 20, years old. They already had many forms of education. We're talking about agriculture, politics, economics, and all different subjects. And sometimes children didn't bear the pressure. And so sometimes out of the 10, 12, one would remain. Imagine how they discipline their children. And when only when a child grows up, and only when he already understands the value of money, the responsibility, and then he was given what belonged to him when he would take the throne. Never be jealous of one another. Always keep in mind that all of this will be added to you. Be thankful and grateful for what you have and how much you have. Thank God for that. And when you thank God for that, if you need more, God will allow you to have more. You know how God rejoices before the devil and angels? He says, look, look at my children. They have everything in this world. They possess it, but don't actually have it physically. Paul says we possess all things, but we don't. But we only have with us the things God has allowed. I shall remind us that giving of tithes without fellowship with one another is one of the traps of Satan. If you give your tithe but don't have fellowship with one another, that is fellowship in the light. As God walks in the light, then we walk in the same light. Then you have fellowship with one another. If you are not giving your tithe with fellowship, you are sowing into the flesh. And so then the wellspring of your income is now not God, but the devil, for whom the whole body joined in it together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Ephesians 4:16. And every time we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, which is the church of saints, we in this way confirm before God that we are His holiness. And so right now we will stand and we will honor our God with our tithes and our offerings. We will worship Him because our worship without the offering of our tithes will not be called worship. It will be called a farce that will then offend God. We will bring not what we need to bring. If the nation of God would understand this finally and would refuse mammon, because what is in their way of giving tithes? Is it really that much? This is not that much. People who love God, they say, what is this? This is nothing. They often even add more to it. But others say, well, how is it that there are some people that were in sin, and when they left the church, a father said to his son, you see, son, for example, I earned a million. Imagine how much of a tithe I have to give, 100,000. But now I do it voluntarily as much as I decide. People did not understand. They listened to it, and didn't understand it. What worship contains, what it includes. Worship without the offering of your tithe is not worship. We can't demonstrate our love to God. We can't prove that we are His children. We say, when we don't honor God with our tithes and offerings, we say, we are belonging, we're not your holiness, and we stand with our back to God. And then God corrects His nation, saying, you have turned your back from me, you steal from me. And so people then say, how do we repent? How do we turn back? How? Bring your tithes into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Let us sing a song. And may the Lord bless us in this very unique service where we chop the root of all evil, love for money.
Не буду в нужде, на память.
And so I shall gladly remind us that every time when Israel honored God with their tithes and their offerings, either in the tabernacle of Moses or Temple of Solomon, they were required, as a command that Moses gave, a revelation that Moses received from God, to stretch out their hands over their tithes and proclaim a great proclamation which they were faithful to for thousands of years. We are that same Israel. We are connected to the same roots. We are nourished by the same olive tree. We will do the same thing. Please stretch out your hands over your tithes and pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated my tithe from my house and have brought them into your temple so that you may have sustenance in your house. I do not give in impurity. I do not give in sorrow. And I do not give for the dead. I rejoice that I have the privilege to proclaim your power and to demonstrate my love. And now, in accordance to your words, I pray right now, may your heavenly windows be open to me, and may your blessing come without end upon your redeemed nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.